Thank you, Sean. Let's see if I can get everything organized here. Glad to be with you this afternoon. Glad we've got nice weather for traveling. A little crowded on the roads coming down from Denver. A 12-inch water main had broken along Spear and slowed down traffic coming south, but got through it. Glad to be here. We've been going through in our doctrines class the Ten Commandments booklet, and so the focus of the sermon is going to be in relationship to that. God's purpose for creating the universe was so that his reproductive process can be achieved. God made mankind, male and female, and they were created so that they would produce an expanded family. In fact, the command goes out right here in Genesis 1 and verse 27, and it says that so God created man in his own image, form and shape just like man has, although he is spirit and we are physical. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. So here's this reproductive process that God has started in humankind. And multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that is in existence. So God commanded reproduction and growth. And God wanted the whole earth to be filled with humankind and with this dominion going the right direction. And then going on to verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given every green herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, it shall be to you for meat, to every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, behold, it was not just good, but very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God gave mankind dominion over all of his creation. Now, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, this reproductive process is to take place within the marriage union. Quite different than what we see in society today, isn't it? Every imagination of evil that has come to take the place of this marriage union, to have the family within it. Mankind wants to have it outside of it. And every one of his thoughts that sways away from God leads him into an area of destruction. It was also directed to have a designed family, male and female, only. That's what it is. It was God's design. Notice God's design isn't something of confusion. It was a commitment in marriage that was to last as long as they lived. Genesis 2 and verse 24 goes on to fortify this, where it tells us, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In all of this new beginning, God gave God the Father was the father of Adam and Eve. I want to stress that again. In all of this new beginning, God the Father was the father of Adam and Eve. He gave them instruction on how to fulfill their lives, how to live. Not only was God the father of Adam and Eve, but he is mentioned in Malachi, and I'll just quote this for you, that he is the father of all. So it's not just Adam and Eve, it is all the way down to what we have today. He is the father of all, so Malachi 2 and verse 10 says. Have we not all one father? Hath not one God created us? He began it. He started it. It all began with him. So God the Father taught the man and the woman. He also gave them warnings. God had eternal experience in this. So he gave warning. Jesse had dealt with the angels. He had experience in what to do. He gave Adam and Eve this experience to draw from and to guide them in their lives. In Genesis 2 and verse 15, if you're still there in Genesis, this will work out well. We'll start here. And the Lord God gave the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're not to eat of that. This is restricted from you. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall die." Some fatherly advice here, given to Adam and Eve. Some of the do's and don'ts that were told to them. The Father gave this to them. In this experience, Adam and Eve bumped into another being that is going to disrupt the Father's interaction with mankind. In this, they bumped into Satan the devil, and he is going to disrupt this family relationship. He wanted to draw Adam and Eve away from their father. The devil was out to destroy and disrupt the parent-child relationship here from the very beginning. He was crafty. He was cunning. And he put doubt into the mind of Eve and also Adam. He just followed right along. And he drew them away from the father relationship. This was conduct that their father had warned them of. This was to be avoided. Adam and Eve knew what was allowed and what was not. The mother of all humanity was challenged. Would she follow the teaching and instruction of her father? I'm emphasizing this. Would she honor her father? Would Adam honor his father? The devil is deceiving Eve into thinking that God the Father does not have her best interest in mind. Something that kind of perpetuates itself down. You know, my parents can't have my best interest here in mind. He is withholding something from me. There must be some part of my happiness that he is restricting me from having, not showing me this. Adam and Eve's decision was not showing respect, and more importantly, it was not honoring the true God, the true Father, the one who had given them both life. This transgression was a breaking of the fifth commandment. And that's what I want to talk about today. How important this fifth commandment is. Sometimes I looked at the commandments and prioritized the first one being the most important and the other two after it because it's dealing with God, the most important. I'm going to show you today how important this fifth commandment is and how important honoring is in relationship to all of the commandments, to all of the commandments. The breaking of this fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, started mankind on the course of this evil world. Adam and Eve had knowledge of the Ten Commandments. They were first introduced to the seventh-day Sabbath, and I'm sure that the other commandments were all included there. They broke this fifth commandment because they did not honor their father and his instructions. In the New Testament, we find the Ten Commandments broken down into two divisions. And you're very familiar with this, but let's go over this because this is going to reveal some interesting facts about the commandments. We're going to start in Matthew 22 and verse 36, if you'll follow along with me. Jesus is showing how important it is to not just be obedient to the commandments, but have them really instilled within you. And he tells us here, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It is an internal thing. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So here are these two components, two commandments that hang all the law and the prophets. So the Ten Commandments are broken down into how to love God and how to love your fellow man. Now, mankind is to love God by implementing the first four commandments. The 6 through 10 commandments is to regulate your relationship to mankind. I intentionally left out number 5 here, and I'm going to show you why. The 5th commandment has to be observed, or you will fail in all of them. Honor is critical in following the rest of the commandments. It is the central hub of the keeping of the 10 commandments. I was going to bring my whiteboard, but I decided not to, and I'll just emphasize how it should be. I look at this 5th commandment as the central hub. If you can see this in your mind, here is this 5th commandment. And here are the first 4 to be kept. Yes, honoring God. And then we have 6 through 10, which are important too. But this 5th commandment is so important in being able to keep all of these. It is a central hub of keeping the 10 commandments. And why is that? Honor. Honor. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Let's go into this 5th commandment and study this a little bit more. Exodus 20 and verse 12, where we find this commandment to honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. So by honoring your father and mother, notice there is a blessing that is to be given to people that honor their parents. Don't keep the 5th commandment, the honoring, then you will not keep the first 4. So what I'm saying is, we've seen this focus of honor in the 5th commandment. If we would look at all the 10 commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. Honor has to enter into that to do that properly. You shall not make any idols. Honor has to be there so that you do not make something that does not represent God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Yes. Honor would be there so that your mouth speaks the right things. You have the right attitude. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Can't be just any day, is it? It has to be an honor towards this day that God has given us. You shall not murder. I'm jumping to the 6th commandment. You shall not murder. Obviously, if a person has honor, they will not murder someone. You shall not commit adultery. If you honor your marriage relationship and those that have that marriage covenant, you would not commit adultery. You would honor that covenant that is there. You shall not steal. You look at somebody else's goods that they have. They have a fancier car, they have a nicer house or something else. We are not to steal from that. We are to have honor towards what they have and what we have. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Yes, by saying the truth, you are giving honor to those people, your neighbor. You shall not covet. You're not going to lust after what your neighbor has or what you may see on television or in advertisements. You are going to impose honor, and you shall not covet those things. So I want to express this to show how important honor is and how important this 5th commandment is. Honor is to show special recognition to. That's what a definition would be of it. It's also to show respect. esteem and value. So in all of the Ten Commandments that I wrote down here, honor would be applied to them all in particular. So this fifth commandment is primarily to our biological parents. This is how it was established from creation. The focus of honor to God the Father was established at creation to Adam and Eve, to their father, God the Father. It should have carried on there. The honoring of your father and mother can refer to those who assist in the development and growth of a child. For myself, I'm an adopted child. My stepfather, Dayton Hale, adopted me and I took on his name. And I looked to him as my father because he took the place of my father that didn't raise me, didn't rear me, and didn't perform his fatherly deeds for one reason or another. We also find that Joseph, didn't he step in to be a father to Jesus? Because he took care of Jesus and the interactions of the family. Moses had Pharaoh's daughter step in to take over, to be a parent, raising him up. You know, this can occur in many different ways in our society. It can happen in step-parents, foster parents. It can happen in grandparents, aunts and uncles, even friends who have stepped in to take over as parents. The fifth commandment is on the same par as keeping the Sabbath. You know, you may think, oh no, that can't be. But let's look at a scripture here that will point this out. The fifth commandment is on the same par as keeping the Sabbath. In actuality, brethren, it is put before it. And I'll show you what scriptures show it. Let's go to Leviticus 19 and verse 1. Leviticus 19 and verse 1. If you'll turn there with me and notice this. Leviticus 19 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You are to be like me. You know, just like God the Father was instructing in Adam and Eve. I am to be your father. You are to be holy. Everyone shall revere. Notice the first instruction that's given here in verse 3. Everyone shall revere his mother and his father. And notice what is secondarily here. And keep my Sabbaths. The priority here is going back to that fifth commandment. Not only is it honoring here, but he steps it up a little bit. Revere his mother and father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. We find the fifth commandment put in front of the Sabbath, or rather the Sabbath's the holy day. This is very important. This fact of honoring your parents is a very important thing that affects all of the commandments. In verse 3, we are taking the level in the relationship up a notch to revere, actually, in this verse. It is greater even than honoring our parents. In our relationship with our parents, we have some do's and don'ts, additional instruction beyond honoring and things that are to be applied to the parents and also to the children. Let's look here at Exodus 21 and verse 15. Exodus 21 and verse 15. We see here, and he that strikes his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. This is not an honorable thing to do. Hitting your father or mother had a severe penalty of death. Going on to verse 17. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. The child who curses his father or mother would not exist anymore back in the times of ancient Israel. So it was necessary and respectful and honorable for a child to not hit their parent, to not speak down and curse his mother or father. We find it in Proverbs 20 and verse 20. The same attitude, mentality, instruction is here. Proverbs 20 and verse 20 tells us, "Whoso curses his father or mother," you know, "you're stupid, you're dumb, I'm not going to follow what you say, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Quite an increased penalty that is said here in Proverbs 20 and verse 20. This verse gives an indication by the phraseology obscure darkness that some translations say that the child's lamp, his consciousness, would end. This could be a reference, as some commentaries say, to physical or maybe even eternal death. Honoring your parents is very important. Another verse on the disrespect of a child for its parent. And it's something for every child to think about. I think about times when I was a child. I can think of a couple of circumstances where I did not honor my mother and my father. Let's go on here to Proverbs 30 and verse 17. We're in Proverbs, and we'll pick up another couple scriptures here, or one in particular. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. "The eye that mocks at his father," you know, doesn't want to obey, doesn't want to be obedient, "and despises to obey his mother," doesn't want to follow either parent, "the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it," referring to the eye. The verse started out here, the eye that does this, that child. How would that occur? It's because that child would probably die an unnatural death out in the open where there's no grave, and this would be the eventual occurrence to that child. To mock your parents is to disrespect them, to belittle them. When a parent is having trouble with his child and no solutions have been found for a rebellious child, the child is to be brought to the elders. This is in ancient Israel. And a judgment is to be made. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. This is how serious this original command was. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. "And if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him," they've tried to correct him, they've tried discipline to make this work, "and he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place." Yes, this was during the time of ancient Israel. "And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious." Now, it's not a real young child we're going to see here. "He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Obviously, a son that is older and will not follow the instruction of the parents. "And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die, so that they put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." I would say that back in the time of ancient Israel, after hearing what happens to a stubborn child, children would have been more honoring to their parents, seeing what the result is. In the New Testament, Jesus is condemning the scribes and the Pharisees because they thought that giving offerings to the temple was of more importance than keeping the fifth commandment. So it's bringing us back here now to this fifth commandment. We'll see this in Matthew 15, and we'll start in verse 1. I'm giving you kind of the surrounding comments here to let you know what is being said here. Matthew 15 and verse 1, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And he, that was Jesus, answered and said unto them, "Now you're condemning us of this, not washing our hands, but why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" In essence, what is happening here is the Jews were having their tradition take priority over following the commandments, in particular, this fifth commandment. "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death." Now, what they're expressing here and what Jesus is expressing is, "Oh, well, I'll give money to the temple, and so now I don't have to take care of my children. I don't have to take care of my elderly parents." This was the focus right here. It says, "But you say, whoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift." That means they had given a gift to the temple. "By whatsoever that you may be profited by me." King James doesn't express this real well in understanding this. In essence, what is being said here in verse 5, the gift was more important than taking care of your parents. If I've given a gift to the temple, my parents can, I don't have to. I'm released from taking care of them. "And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free." So that's what they're saying. Because they had given a gift to the temple, they are free from honoring their parents. Jesus took exception to this. The Jews said that they were released from taking care of their parents. Not so. Jesus is bringing this point out. "You worry about washing my hands. More importantly, you're neglecting taking care of your elderly parents and saying that one is released from taking care of them because you had given an offering to the temple." They were putting the traditions of the Pharisees before honoring their father and mother. They did not teach the children properly what was important. In this situation, the money given to the temple in a dedication eliminates honoring your father or mother, so the Pharisees instructed. The money should have been used to help taking care of the parents' needs. They had replaced the fifth commandment with temple worship. Wrong. Jesus did not like that. So what is expected of mothers and fathers to help children keep the fifth commandment? Let's focus a little bit on this. There is a parental responsibility. Children are born as, we may say, blank tapes, Mr. Armstrong used to say, or they're like sponges. They take on input from their surroundings and environment. It's fantastic what a child will learn in that first year or two. The greatest influence is a positive and proper influence. We as parents are responsible for our influence on our children. It is so important that we see here in Psalms 127 and verse 3. If you follow along with me here, Psalms 127 and verse 3. It tells us, "Lo, children are a heritage." Actually, that word is a little deceptive. It means our children are a gift of the Lord. They are a gift that God gives us. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children, you may say, if I could quote from Rush Limbaugh, are on loan from God. He uses that phraseology, but isn't it true? Children are on loan from God, given to us. We are to add value to our children in how we teach them. Just like the parable of the pounds. Increase must be there. We must show increase in the value of our children. We as parents have an accountability in how we train and teach our children. The most important lesson that God was teaching in Adam and Eve was that we need to obey. Don't eat of that tree. Don't partake of it. It's a vital lesson to teach our children. It works with discipline and with love when we teach our children. Not in anger. Not in anger. Let's look here, and well, I'll just quote it and I'll read it for you because you'll know exactly what this is. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our personal examples in our family are the beginning input into our children. We are to show love towards our mate. They will see our relationship between husband and wife, how we interact together. They will see if it's love, and they will pick up on that. And this will help them in their life in the future when they're adults. Show our children that we are committed to them. In this marriage and family, husband and wife. Husband and wife have to stress it. Not by just doing some things, but say it. Say how important that your children are to you in the words that you can best express. Families are the beginning for the kingdom of God. Honoring your parents is central to the kingdom of God. We look back here in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God. So as they're entering into the promised land, this instruction is given to each and every family. Moses is going to portray this and show this. Also Joshua, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. Thou, your son, not only your son, but your son's son. That means your grandson. All the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. It is a promise that goes with that fifth commandment, isn't it? Very true, that your life would be extended and have blessings upon it. In the New Testament, I'm going to back up here a little bit. In this instruction that we had, we see that this shows the importance of teaching by work and example. Connect your children to God. In prayer, in showing them how God has created this earth, how God has blessed you, and what has been accomplished. Let it always be on your mind, expressed to your children. Stress that your home obeys God and follows Him. In the New Testament, we'll find in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. We find this here. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and these words are read here. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That means we are not to overcorrect them. We are not to do it in anger. We are to do it in love, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever you instruct, do it in love. If we do this wrongly, have anger in our child rearing, we can bring resentment into our children. Be firm. Have a right use of correction. Not cruel or overbearing, but always loving. Be firm and have a right use of correction. Be the proper example, just as our Father has done with us. I want to read an example of some inspiration I came across in a book that I'm going through. It's the 3 days in January, and it gives the history of Dwight Eisenhower. Never did know too much about Dwight Eisenhower, but I did remember he was the first president I ever remember seeing. In fact, the only one I've actually seen in a parade. But here is young Dwight. It must be around Halloween time. And Dwight's older brothers are going out for trick-or-treating. Not that I'm advocating trick-or-treating, but Dwight was not allowed to go out, and he was not too happy about this. In fact, his anger so rose up in him that he went out into the yard, took his fists and beat into the tree till they were bloody, and he was still angry. His dad saw him out there, grabbed him, took a hickory stick and gave him a couple of swats on the behind and sent him up to his room where Ike was there whimpering and crying and wondering how to deal with it. I want to read these words. After about an hour, Ike's mother entered his room quietly and sat beside his bed. She knew how easily little boys could be crushed by feelings of helplessness and how the outlet of rage could even seem the only way for them to assert themselves in a world where they had no control. As she ministered to his bleeding hands, she spoke softly to Ike about this very fact, telling him how mastering his temper was the task of growing up. Referring to a biblical passage, Ike's mother said, "He that conquers his soul is greater than he who takes a city." Ike went on to say later in life, "I have always looked back on that conversation as one of the most valuable moments of my life." Ike went on to say, "He developed a simple method for handling his anger or rage. An anger drawer in his desk into which he dropped slips of paper with the names of people he was angry with. At once in the drawer, the grievance was banished from his thought." So his mother was very instrumental in helping Mr. Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower, control that anger and that rage. I think it's a great example of great instruction by those parents. Now, we are to be the proper example, just as our Father does with us. Here's some further instruction. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And you know that how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father teaches his children, that you would walk worthy of God, worthy by example, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." So, in our rearing of our children, lay out boundaries for your children. Reward them for these boundaries. Discipline your child when they fail, but do it in love. I had a friend of mine that our kids grew up with our children. And, of course, we use the technique that, you know, the Worldwide Church of God always taught us, how to discipline our children. But these friends of ours, their child was not responding to this. In fact, would be more in a rage than anything else with the discipline. And the mother said, "I just don't know what to do. I'm just praying for an answer." And one day when the child was in one of these moods, rages of anger, she had a glass of water in her hand and she simply tossed it in his face, and it worked as a discipline for that child. You will have to find out what discipline affects your child. I'm not advocating either of these I've said. You'll have to find out what works with your child that helps them to respond, helps your child to respect you, to follow that fifth commandment, that one of honor. When your child has respect for who you are, the parent then will be keeping the fifth commandment. When a child learns this, they will then see that respect is to be given to God. Those first four commandments, our Creator. And also, he will have respect for your fellow man. 6 through 10 commandments. See how important that honoring is? What a hub it is? I wanted to show you something here. If I brought the Ten Commandments booklet up here. Sorry, I'm destroying everything up here. Let's see if I can find this real quickly. I bumped into this while I was reading the Ten Commandments booklet and going over this relationship here that we have. Is this it? No, it isn't. I go forward here, one commandment. Okay, here we go. Oh, I highlighted it. Good. Notice how important this fifth commandment is. It says here in our booklet on page 35. In that sense, we should, as it talks about the fifth commandment, in that sense, we should recognize that the fifth commandment forms a bridge. A bridge. I said a hub. But it's a linking to the first four and 6 through 10. It forms a bridge of sorts between the first four Ten Commandments concerning our relationship with God and the last six concerning our relationship with fellow human beings. That is how important honoring our parents is. Honoring starts with honoring our parents, then it will go into honoring God, and then honoring others also. The fifth commandment is a unique commandment, I have found. I didn't realize this until I started studying this. It is a very unique commandment. When kept, it will add days to your child's life, so Exodus 20 and verse 12 says. When a child learns how to honor his parents, it will be a blessing to you, a parent. You can think about the times when your children have honored you, followed your instruction. It tells us here in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment and with promise. Pretty important, I think. First commandment that children should learn and experience so that they will know how to honor God and they will know how to honor their fellow man. Notice that we are to honor our parents in the Lord. This phraseology is showing us that we are to follow God first. This is so true if our parents are not converted. It has an effect there. We follow God first and we show honor to our parents in how we do it. Now, I have a parent who is not in the church, but I still give honor to her. I have nothing that I could say about my parents' life that they have done anything to harm me or anything evil. But I know there has to be within God's congregation people that have not been dealt with properly. It makes it hard for a child then to honor their parent. That love may not be there, but they still have to look at honoring that parent because they are the one that gave them life. Also, Acts 5:29 says, it tells us and gives us instruction when what do we do in this situation where a parent has just been horrible to us? Acts 5 and verse 29, that Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, we are to apply this and we are to have respect for our parents for what they have given you. Look at that as you look at honoring them. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says and gives us this instruction if you'd like to follow along with me. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. How will you do this? My son, hear the instruction. That means pay close attention to what your parents teach you. Hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck. Now, this is not chains that is like slavery or anything of that, but it is a reference to gold chains about your neck. Gold chains, not bondage. Proverbs 4 and 1, verse 1 tells us, Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to understanding. For I give you good doctrine, good teaching. Forsake you not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words. Listen to me. Keep my commandments and live. David is teaching Solomon here these principles so that it would affect his life. And for a good share of his life, it did. There were times when Solomon fell away from this. Some indications are that Solomon returned to these principles possibly at the end of his life. But David goes on to instruct his son Solomon. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, nor neither decline from the words of your mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve. That means give more life, preserve you. Love her, love wisdom, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore, get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding, exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you do embrace her. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Also in Proverbs 6 and verse 20, Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment. Forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck like that gold chain, that crown of it that would be about your neck. And when you go in, it shall lead you. And when you sleep, it shall keep you. And when you awake, it shall talk with you. Verse 23, very important. For the commandment. It's talking about one. It is talking, I believe, about the fifth commandment, honoring your parents. For the fifth commandment is a lamp and a law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, sometimes children can have the idea, oh, parents just aren't very smart, you're not hip, you know, and so forth. And may have this particular attitude that we have in Proverbs 13 and verse 1. I have to say I don't see this in the children of God in our church. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, but still an important instruction. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer, it says here in the King James, a scorner, but a scoffer hears not rebuke. A scorner does not take to heart the correction that his parents give to him. Doesn't. So make sure that we are not a scoffer of our parents. I'm not talking just to children. It's how we treat our parents that are still alive also. Let's see here. I want to skip down here because I want to stop here in a little bit. We are to take care of our parents when they need help. We saw that in Jesus' example when they were giving gifts to the temple rather than taking care of their parents. We are to honor our parents no matter what the age is. Look how Jesus applied this here in John 19. Look how he applied this. John 19 and verse 25. Jesus has spent the night being whipped and lashed and now has been put on this cross. And we'll pick this story up. Now there stood by the cross in John 19, 25 of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple, which is John, standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold your son. Jesus did not want his mother to see any more of what was going to go on. So he says to the disciple, John, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his home. Even on the cross, Jesus honored his mother and made sure that she was taken care of. He honored her. John was to take care of her. Today, brethren, the family unit is under attack by the devil. Some look at children as being in the way. Some don't even want to have children. We are required to honor our parents, have godly love. It may not be with that familial love if you've had a bad relationship and how you've been brought up. That natural affection because of the failure of how you were brought up. But if you can show godly love to your parents, strive to do it. Give honor to them. We are required to show godly love in this application. We are to esteem others, even our parents, better than yourself. Move forward in this where parents have been lacking, where they have missed the opportunity to repent. Maybe by your example that this will lead to their repentance. We must recognize that all parents are imperfect. We must lay down our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit to honor our parents. How important is the fifth commandment to you? I believe it is central to keeping the rest of the commandments. Strive with God's Holy Spirit and the example of Jesus Christ and God the Father to honor your father and mother. By applying this fifth commandment, you will then be better at loving God. Central, isn't it? I'm going back to it again. The fifth commandment, honoring your father and mother, you will be able to love God better. You will also be able to love others, your fellow man, even better. So, brethren, with this, I'll conclude in talking about the fifth commandment and showing how important it is. I was really struck by the importance of how honoring your parents reflects upon how we keep the rest of the commandments.